afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Drop in the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Tim's North Carolina. I'm here in Michigan. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I was watching a lot of hockey last night, which we'll get into today. So how you doing?
Not bad. Not great. Fighting this little bug, Tim. What are you going to do? I'm going to keep plugging away. But you know what helps me? AG1, Tim. AG1 is a nutritional supplement. It is a beautiful thing. We got a subscription of it last month. I've been drinking it diligently. Every single day I put it in my shake mixer. I drink it up. And so far, so good. I feel good. I feel like I got a little more energy. I feel a little more lively. So it's fantastic. And I implore you, try AG1. Tim, you've been taking. What's your take on it so far?
Yeah, I've been drinking AG1 for about a month too, like you said, and it's great. It's delicious. They've improved on the formula since I last drank it, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. The big thing for me was the I get a lot of afternoon lulls. Like, I do a lot of early morning work. I really like that, like, 7 to 8, 9 a.m. like productive time. But there's a trade-off for that where, like, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon comes around and I'm crashing. And this is really helping, like, regulate that and just prevent those, you know, energy lapses, more sustained energy throughout the day, which has been very helpful for me.
Very good. Me too. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3K2. 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/DTG. That's drinkag1.com/DTG. Check it out. Those little vitamin D3K2. I do that too. It's like this little eyedropper. Feels like you're not doing anything, but you just pop it on your tongue and then you just immediately start growing hair. It's amazing.
It's part of the morning routine now.
No, but it is good. I didn't know vitamin D was so important, but apparently it is.
It's one of the things. It's a very common deficiency that people just don't have enough of in their system. So, yeah.
There you go. Look, I got it right here. This little guy. So you get that for free if you subscribe, and then it's like a year. This is a year supply, Tim. You know that. You have one, too. It's crazy. One drop a day, but sometimes I get over a little zealous, and I do 2 or 3 drops. Well, look out if you catch me on one of those days. Speaking of one of those days, Tim, you know who had a day last night? A son of my former teammates, Shane Doan, Josh Doan, making his, well, not NHL debut. Did he make his NHL debut?
It was, yeah.
NHL debut, shocking. For the Arizona Coyotes, and he had quite the night. Most times when people hear about sons making the debut, especially with a team where the father, I believe, has some sort of made-up title with the Coyotes, you would think, right? Donor is some kind of senior advisor to the mascot, where he makes like $500,000. Does he have a title like that?
I believe, yeah. He's part of the franchise still.
He's part of the system. You know what I mean? The New World Order.
Part of the family.
Yeah. So he made his NHL debut. But like I was saying, usually end of the year, the son is getting his first NHL game. It just reeks of just nepotism, and this kid's going to just stink. Let's just get him his ice time, his game, and then we'll be done for it. The Coyotes are out of the playoffs. It reminds me of when I was in Arizona. The GM, Don Maloney, his son would skate with us, and he thought he was the cat's meow. He'd come out and be doing all this stuff, and everybody hated him. Just like, he thought he was just so good. I'm like, buddy, you're out here because your dad's the GM. Like, let's just not get it twisted. He was our age. He was a college kid. So he was probably, and mind you, I was older at that point. But he was probably 20-ish.
But not a kid. Yeah.
Not a kid. But he just, hey, you know, there's something to be aware of your situation. He was completely unaware of why he was there. He thought he was just one of the boys. Like, let's go. It's going to be a good season, fellas. Like, I'm feeling it. We're like, kid, like, stop. Like, let's just get realistic here. But that wasn't the case with Josh Doan. He came in, first NHL game, pretty good. Mind you, take it with a grain of salt, playing the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are dumpy team. You know, not good. Arizona Coyotes, they had their fun. They fell back to reality of they're a dumpy team as well. So it was two dumpy teams just taking dumps all over the ice. A big fat dump fest. But if you sift through the turd, there's a little diamond in there, Tim. And that was Josh Doan. The diamond in the turd. That's the title of this podcast. A diamond in the turds. Josh Doan. He made an impact last night. Tell me about Josh Doan, Tim. his little diamond impact in just a field of turds, led by King Turd himself, Liam O'Brien, the king of the turds.
I'll give you that one. But last night was anything but a turd. Really special night when you're playing at home. And this is basically like if there is such a thing as Arizona, like legacy and royalty, it's the Doan family, right?
Yeah.
Shane Doan, cool story. Sorry, Josh, I was reading about him this morning. Obviously grew up in Arizona with Shane playing for the Coyotes. Then he played for Arizona State where the Yotes are playing now. He went into draft eligibility 2020, didn't get picked up. And then had a massive year the next year and ended up being a second round pick, early second round pick, like 37th, I think, by the Coyotes in 2021. So he has this big moment, like the fans, all the family, like just all like the home state. He's like, you know, he's king, and he scores two goals in his debut, which is just a really special moment. The building's rocking, dad's smiling ear to ear. You know, they bring him on the broadcast and everything. And even Josh and Shane were both on the post game stuff in the studio. So it's pretty cool. Great moment. And just, you know, for a team that hasn't had a lot of wins lately, not just on the ice, but just in the general sense of the word for the franchise, it's a really, really, really cool evening for those guys.
Yeah. And the building was packed. There's hundreds of people there. Like, it was very exciting to see that in person. Yeah. He actually went and thanked every single person single-handedly, and it didn't take him very long, but cool moment, because I know Shane, I obviously played with him for a good portion of the year. And like I said, before I would, you know, go to a team, I would go and skate before the season. And usually the captain reaches out to you before the season. And Shane, like I was long in the tooth. I was just a guy trying to hang on to the NHL at that point. He went out of his way to greet me, making sure my family had everything we needed. He's obviously a Christian. He knew that I was Catholic. We kind of bonded over that a little bit, but just could not be a nicer guy. Could not be a stand-up guy coming in from Winnipeg when the Arizona Coyotes are brand new Phoenix Coyotes at that point. So he played every game of that franchise. So just a good dude, especially during the all-star stuff where he was having a great season. He should have been the all-star guy elected. He said, don't worry about it. Roll with it. You know, I'm happy for you. So just make the best of it. And if it happens, it happens. And, you know, that was his last year. So he could have easily just been a stick in the mud and said, you're kind of ruining this for me. This is my swan song. Let's go. It could be Yager and myself at the all-star game. How cool would that be? Total class act. I defy you to find any negative stuff about Shane Doan. Try to find it. It's nowhere. Every other player, every other superstar, they usually, you know, burn some bridges at some point in their career just because they've been around long enough. Even nice guys like Patrick Marleau, he's burned a few bridges. Not intentionally, but it happens. You know what I mean? He's got a wife doesn't stop talking. You know what I mean? But Christina, she's a firecracker. But Shane never did that. Shane's one of those just rock solid guys. Never swore. And he was trying to, you know, wrangle in a team when I was there with Domi and Duclair and myself. Like, we had some characters. Steve Downey. We had some fun. Like, he was trying to wrangle us in, and we were winning. And then the All-Star game happened. It was a lot for him to kind of corral in his last season. So good for him. Good for his son. It's a nice story. Two goals. It's impressive. It's the first skater in franchise history to record multiple goals in their NHL debut. I find that hard to believe. Didn't Austin Matthews have four goals his first game?
In the franchise for the Coyotes.
In Arizona's franchise.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like I just got one my first game. Okay. That's interesting. Good for Arizona. One of the, you know, it's nice to have these bright spots because they were a cute team for a good solid. I don't want to get Poland upset. I better be careful what I say about Arizona because I'm going to have a nasty blog written about me in Poland. It's going to matriculate its way to me and I'm going to be upset because I have a big Polish trip planned. I don't want to deal with the stuff that comes along with just being, sorry, I got a text. Did you hear that?
I did, yeah.
My bad. I have it jacked right up because I'm just, you know, AG1. My hearing is like peak.
Supersonic.
Supersonic. Spider-Man-esque. All right, moving on, Tim. What are we talking about today? You had an interesting idea last night when you texted me.
Yeah, we you know, we've done a lot of conversation in the last couple of weeks about the wild card race and who's competing and who's locked down a spot. The Rangers were the first team last night to officially lock down a playoff spot in the East. It's about, you know, the teams are getting narrower, the race is getting tighter, and I wanted to go like even deeper than we have. And like, let's look at the remaining games. Let's look at like who they're playing. Let's look at the odds and percentage. The standings, just everything. And so if you look at the East standings, and go ahead and like pull up the standings, if you're, you know, if you're on a computer, look at NHL.com. There are five guarantees at this point in the East. Florida, Boston, Toronto, New York, Carolina. 100% they're going to the playoffs. And then I would say Tampa Bay is, you know, even though they're in a wild card spot, they've got that locked down too. So you can say those six teams. And then it comes down to the third spot in the Metro and the second wild card spot. Those are really the only two spots that are open. And there's really only three teams competing for those two spots.
Really? Is there, you're saying really a lot. Really?
Am I, Tim? Really?
Really?
Yeah. So it comes down to Philadelphia, who has the third spot in the Metro right now. And then Washington and Detroit competing for the second wild card spot. Although it's a little bit more complicated, as you pointed out to me just before we started recording. Washington and Detroit played a huge game last night. It's basically, I watched this. Imagine that. I was watching that over the Bruins just because of like anticipation of this show. And just because I'm a hockey guy that's paying attention to this sort of thing now. It felt like a playoff game, not in intensity and like energy and animosity, but just in the fact of like, they were playing a tight game. Not a lot of risk taking. No one wanted to be the guy that makes the mistake. And that's sort of what last night felt like. Great game. And, you know, Patrick Kane had that late third period goal with a slap shot that just, you know, pushed them to overtime. And we're going to get into all of that. But let's start with the Flyers. They're third in the Metro right now. They're 4-4-2 in their last 10. So playing okay.
Let me put a little asterisk on that. You say okay, but... And within that, excuse me, 4-4-2, the last five games, I don't know if you recall, Murderers Row. This was after the Tortorella scratching of Sean Couturier, turmoil around the team, getting tons of bad press. They beat Toronto, overtime loss to Carolina, beat Boston, lose to Florida, overtime loss to the Rangers. So in a total of 10 points, you're pulling out six versus arguably five of the top teams in the NHL. It saves their season. If they lose four of those five games, it's a completely different conversation we're having right now. So they stepped up and nailed those five games, much like Toronto did earlier in the season when Morgan Rielly went down. It was a gut check time for the Flyers. They nailed it. Like, Tim, these are legit Stanley Cup contenders. They're playing night in and night out. Tough schedule. So good for the Flyers. And I just want to say this. I want to go jump to the Rangers. I got a lot of flack for calling them maybe a pretender. I still think they're a pretender. So I'm going to double down. People get so upset. It's like, yes, Roslovic's been great on the first line. You want Jack Roslovic on your first line going into the playoffs if you're a Stanley Cup contender? That's you, man. So be it. But I would prefer to have a Florida Panthers first line. Tarasenko, Barkov, Reinhardt, Tkachuk, Bennett, those types of players. I'll take Toronto's first line. I'll take Carolina's first line. I'll even take the Bruins' first line over a Jack Roslovic-led first line. That's just me. So for all those people who are all butthurt, how dare you say the Rangers are, you know, they're pretenders. They're going to flame out. I'll say it again. They're going to lose in the first round. And then I want every single one of you just bow down, babe. Bow down. What rapper was that? Bow down.
Little Bow Wow. That's a major thinker.
Little Bow Wow. Stop. All right, moving on. Sorry to hijack your Philly ranking here, but what were we talking about?
That's a great point about Philly and those games they won lately. So right now they sit third in the Metro, 85.6% chance to make the playoffs according to the Vegas odds. Although it's a little bit tighter than that because you want to talk about, you know, the Caps are only 1 point behind them with two games in hand. But that's like a really tight standings race there.
Yeah, and the Capitals have been playing really good hockey. So if I don't know how Vegas gets their odds. I really don't know how they make it work. But you'll talk about the teams they're playing.
That's
in
part
a second
of it for sure.
But yeah, that's a huge part of it. But just based on the Washington, how they've been playing, this is going to come down to the very last game. I think these two teams play each other the last game of the season. And talk about just all the cards in. This could be a make or break game. And how fun would that be? It would just be great because usually down the stretch, the seeds are already locked in. Nobody's playing for anybody. You're just really thinking of who do I want to sit? Who do I want to rest? This will be a consequential game, depending on how Detroit plays their games. But we'll talk about them in a second, but Washington is making this such a fascinating story. This team, I'm sorry, I might have to start drinking this Kool-Aid because they've been playing really good, not really good, but good enough to win.
We'll get there. We're doing the Flyers first. This is important because they have 9 games left. Listen to these teams that they're playing. Montreal, Chicago, Islanders, Buffalo, Columbus, Montreal, Rangers, Islanders, and Capitals. That's 6 or 7 team games against like the worst teams in the league. Like they should be, they have the easiest schedule the rest of the way, incredibly easy. Only one of those teams is against a legit playoff team, which is the New York Rangers. And then the last game of the season against the Capitals, like you said, the rest, you should be winning 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7. Like those are just gimme games. The Capitals game, the last game of the season, could end up being like the huge one, like you said. I think most likely just because of the way the standings are, it's probably going to be more of a must win for Washington than Philly. I think Philly locks down this third spot, and it's about Washington versus Detroit for the second wildcard spot, which makes it a bigger game for Washington. Just given the way, you know, the next 2 weeks are going to go in terms of Philly's ease of schedule. But you have to look at those odds and think that's about right, just based on who they're playing for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and Washington does have those games in hand, but who do they play with those two games in hand? That's the thing, because strength of schedule is all everyone talks about this time of year. And when you look at Washington, who do they play, Tim? Let's just jump forward. Or should we stay with Philly a bit longer?
Yes. Some of us prepared for this episode, John. There's a little bit of a format to it. So this is the kind of the verdict on the Flyers. The Philadelphia Flyers will make the playoffs if they don't play down to their opponents. And this is kind of a question I'm going to throw back to you, because when you have this easy of a schedule going in, it can be easy to like start to coast and not be playing your best hockey, not playing anywhere close to what playoff hockey is heading into the playoffs. So like, is it a good thing for them? Is that if the ease of schedule in the final 12 games, like they can rest guys if they need to, they don't have to, you know, go out above and beyond every single night to get their must win games? Or is it a bad thing that they should be ramping up and playing something closer to playoff hockey this time of year?
Well, you should. I think they've been playing playoff hockey for the last month now. And a Tortorella coach team, I think, is less susceptible to playing down to your opponents. But it is an issue. I've been calling the Hawks all year long, so I can see when teams play down to their opponents. And it's a case of you just want an easy game. You want to go in, you want to get your 2 points, and you want to leave. You don't want to, you know, get into a drag-out fight. You don't want to go to overtime. You don't really want to expend too much energy. Because the next night, most likely, you're going to Minnesota or St. Louis or another a better team. And it happens all the time. The Chicago Blackhawks will surprise teams early on, first period, second period, and then the team will wake up, and it's like, oh boy. It's like Cinderella Man when he was fighting Max Bear, and then it clicks for Max Bear, and it's like, oh boy, here comes the bear, and he comes out of the corner like, and like just really wakes up. But I don't think a Tortorella team is going to do that to him. I think this he's got this group motivated. He's got them locked in. I feel like they'll be fine, so I don't expect them to have a lull in their play. So when they play teams like Montreal, they're gonna roll over. Teams like Chicago. The ones that make me nervous are the New York Islanders games. They play them twice. Those will be the ones that I'll circle on my calendar to see how they fare in those games. The Islanders are a veteran group, and they want to play the spoiler. They still have a slight chance, but they would love to knock Philadelphia out because they obviously have an old rivalry there. It's just go back to the Broad Street Bullies and Nystrom and Bobby Clark and Gillies and those guys. So there's some history. So those are the two games I'll watch for the Philadelphia Flyers. If they can win those two games, they'll make the playoffs for me. But if they don't, then we're going to have some issues because I expect them to beat Montreal and Chicago. Yes. So it's two Islanders games I'm going to be watching. They play them the third game and then the second last game of the season. So those will be the ones for me, Tim.
Okay, let's get into the Capitals.
Can we now?
They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've won 3 straight. They're playing they just keep somehow getting better, which just defies a lot of logic. And right now, after their win against Detroit last night, 65.5% to make the playoffs. Still very, very tight race, but it puts them well ahead statistically of Detroit. They've got kind of a challenging schedule, probably the most challenging out of these three teams we're going to talk about in the East. They've got Toronto, Boston coming up, then Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo, Tampa, Boston, Philly. So they're the only team. They play both Detroit and Philadelphia in this stretch. Both, I think, are must-win games for them for the same reason we just talked about between Philly and Washington. That last game of the year is going to be probably huge. But I think they probably have, you know, they'd have to blow it. Like their fate's in their hands right now, and they're playing their best hockey all season long. So I think they're going to be okay, but it is a tight race, and anything could happen.
What I'm starting to like about this team is they adapt to the game. They're not locked into their game plan. So if the game wants to go run and gun, we'll run and gun. If you want to play a tight checking game, we can play a tight checking game. You want to play physical, we'll get physical. They aren't locked into one kind of style. When you look at their last 5, 6, 7 games, the scores are all over the map. They're getting 3-0 shutouts versus Winnipeg. They're getting 7-6 wins over Carolina, a Carolina team who doesn't give up 7 goals ever. And they threw 7 on them. Mind you, one was a shootout winner, but still, it's just they're able to play all different kinds. Their power play is okay. You know, obviously Alex Ovechkin helps that because he just has to shoot every puck. But I like that. I like that their ability to adapt and just not be so stringent in one way of play. It's good for them. They can change their pace of play mid-game. So I don't know, Tim. They're really playing good hockey, and they're beating good teams. Like I said, they beat Washington or Winnipeg 2 games ago. They beat Carolina. They beat Vancouver in the last couple of weeks. Solid teams. So we'll see how it pans out. But they have a very, very hard schedule, like you said, coming up. If they can continue to eke out points here and there, they seem to just make it work. No matter the situation, oh, we go down a couple, we're going to come back. We're going to get a point of this. We're going to claw and this and that. So if they can get some points out of Toronto and Boston, which they've shown they can do, I think they will make the playoffs, crazily enough. And then do you want to bet against Ovi in the playoffs? Not really.
I mean, there's a scenario where they go 500 the rest of the way over these final 11 or 12 games and make the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, just because of the way the point structure. And if Detroit doesn't blow it out of the water, I feel like they have a really good chance. Like I said, stealing a couple games or at least a couple points, forcing overtime against Toronto and Boston and Carolina and Tampa and all that is just going to be huge for them. They're going to need more great play from Charlie Lindgren, who's just been so, so good between the pipes. And they have a couple of injury prone veterans, Pacioretty, for example, TJ Oshie, a couple other guys that just need to make sure they stay healthy. If they're like, there was a great tweet from Steve Dangle the other night about Morgan Riley being a healthy scratch or being a scratch because he was sort of a game time decision. And he was like, at this point in the year, if you're a game time decision, just scratch him. We don't need Morgan Riley tonight. We need him healthy for the playoffs. And I feel like if you win a couple of these games, you can have the same benefit with your roster too. And I, like I said, the two must wins, I think, for this group are going to be Detroit on April 9th and Philadelphia on April 16th. You win both of those games, you're golden.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fun team. It's a very strange team. You don't see a team who's really bad at everything. You know what I mean? They don't stand out for a lot of things. They're middle of the pack or bottom of the pack in a lot of categories. So statistically, you scratch your head and you're like, how does this team, they don't get many shots, they give up a lot of goals, they don't score many goals, power play's mediocre, PK's mediocre. Oh, they're going to make the playoffs. But they will be an eighth seed. So, but it's just, it makes you scratch your head. Like, their plus minus is atrocious. There's minus 26. Playoff team, your overall goal differential is minus 26. Isn't that strange?
It is. It seems like how the Flyers are getting by with coaching and skill and discipline, probably the Capitals are doing it just with the veterans and just guys stepping up in big moments. They're not going to score 40 goals, but, you know, 25 big goals. And like Dylan Strome the other night with the overtime goal was just a beautiful sequence. So, yeah, exciting team. The next one, Detroit, the final team in the East that we're going to talk about. Tough schedule and tough, you know, recent performance, 3-6-1 in their last 10. After their loss, you know, the odds yesterday were something like 40-35 between them and Capitals. Capitals jumped up to 65 and Detroit dropped down to 29.6%. So, you know, tough sledding, and they're entering a really, really difficult stretch in their schedule. Carolina, Florida, Tampa, all three of those on the road. Then you got Rangers, Buffalo, Caps, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and then Montreal to finish out the year. These next four games is the season for them. Carolina, Florida, Tampa, New York Rangers. You need to take, so the 8 points, you need to get 5 points, I think. Barring any, you know, unless Washington goes over during the same stretch and flips the ratio, I feel like every game for Detroit is basically a playoff game at this point. It's life or death, and they need to play like it.
They lost their playoff position 2 weeks ago. So all of these games are, they're a reflection of how bad they were 2 weeks ago. Starting of this month in March, they were in a great spot to make the playoffs. They're playing fantastic hockey. All of a sudden, you play Arizona, you play Vegas, you play Buffalo, you play Arizona again. Loss, 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 loss. And that was a Vegas team who was reeling with injuries. Goaltenders were a huge question mark. You regroup, meet Buffalo, then you lose to the Penguins the next night. So you lose 5 out of 6 games where arguably you should have won all 6. That's why they're in this position. They had easy, winnable games, and they let it slip away. Now they're panicking. rightfully so. They should make the playoffs this year based on their roster, based on how everything's gone. They've put themselves in this position. It's frustrating for a team to look back and go, how did this slip away? And you look at that 2-week stretch. Every team does it. Every player does it. You can pinpoint it. You go, ah, that's where it went off the rails. Yes, Larkin was hurt. I know that. You still got to beat the Coyotes. You still got to beat the Buffalo Sabres. You know what I mean? You got to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's it. And they didn't do it. They got blown out by Buffalo, for Pete's sake, 7-3. You're getting blown out by Arizona, 4-0 and 4-1, Tim. That's it. So if they have anyone in blame, I say it quite a bit. There's a mirror. Go take a gander. Have yourself a good look. It's your fault. You had the opportunity to pick up 8 to 10 points right now. Throw that onto their standings right now. They're easily coasting into the playoffs. Not even an issue. They have 89 points. Even you win half of those games, Tim, you're good. You're good. You still have games in hand on Philly. You're perfect. But that's it. That's how it works out. You got to take care of the games you have to win. Like you said, we're going through the schedules now. Strength of schedule. It's all great in theory until you play the game and you lose. Then you're like, damn. I remember when I was with Minnesota my second year. I was entrenched with the team. We were in the playoff battle. And we missed out by 1 point. And that's a tough one. We had 99 points. And you go back and you start to look at the whole season. You're like, yeah. We should have won a lot of those games and we didn't show up and we're playing teams that we have no business losing to. It's like, we had a really good team and Rolston and Gabrick and Owen Nolan and Mietnin and like a really, really Brent Burns, like a solid Nick Schultz. We should have never missed the playoffs. I was playing lights out, but it is what it is. And you do go back and you check the calendar and you go, man, those games, September, October, November, maybe we should have tried a little bit harder, but we didn't. And we lost, and we missed out in the playoffs by 1 point, which is so defeating. I'd rather lose by 15 points than one. That's just how I am. But yeah, the Wings, they're on the outside looking in, and it's not looking good. There's a reason their odds are 29.6%, not 85.
Yeah, I think we'll know by the beginning of next week whether it's in the cards for them or not. After they, you know, go on this road trip and they come back to play the Rangers at home, they'll basically, you know, it's Carolina, Florida, Tampa. That's such a tough string of games. And yeah. If they can surprise us all, then all of a sudden we make things interesting and maybe they push Washington out. But right now it's looking like they're going to miss just barely when the season comes to an end.
And this will have impacts after the season. Do you think Patrick Kane wants to come back to a team that didn't make the playoffs?
I think he does. I think he loves it there. I think he loves the roster. Yeah, he's playing great. I think he does. But
okay.
Who knows?
Everybody is entitled to their own opinion. I think you might be right, though. But it does put the little bug in your head. Sure, I'd like to compete for a Stanley Cup. Anyways, yeah. What else are we doing, Tim?
Well, this episode is brought to you by Bet99, voted the number one online gaming experience in Canada with same-game parlays, player props, and flash bet markets. Elevate your experience at Bet99. John, who did I say on Monday was my pick?
Luke Hughes.
Guess who scored a goal last night? Luke Hughes.
Luke Hughes.
It's amazing. Yeah, I wish I was in Ontario. I'd be rich by now. Today's pick, Travis Konecny. He has 4 goals in his past 4 games, including 2 against Boston, my team. His upcoming schedule includes Montreal, Chicago, and the New York Islanders, 3 teams that just love giving up goals. So look for Konecny to continue the goal-scoring streak. You must be 19-plus to play responsibly. Available to people in Ontario only. Bet99 is built by Canadians for Canadians.
Tell you what, if I'm doing Bet99, I'm just taking Kopitar, Kempe, and Byfield the rest of the way. Those guys are unstoppable. Doesn't matter who's checking. They're so good. But yeah, Travis Konecny. Tim, you're killing this. You're making a lot of people happy if they're listening.
If you're not listening by now, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what's wrong with you. It's your fault. Much like the Red Wings, you were shooting yourself in the foot. You don't like money? You don't like money? Maybe you don't. All right, we've done the East. Let's go out West. Wagons West, as they say.
Yeah, so there's basically 7 teams guaranteed for the playoffs at this point. Vancouver, Winnipeg, Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, the Kings, and surprisingly, Nashville. Just amazing what they've done. They won again last night, Roman Josi in overtime. So it's down to really only 1 spot left, the second wild card spot. And Vegas most likely has it, but Minnesota and St. Louis are still close enough to make it interesting that it's worth talking about. When you look at the standings, it looks close. John shaking his head. Vegas, 86 points. St. Louis, 80 points. Minnesota, 77 points. But the odds make it a more drastic difference. So let's talk about Vegas first. 6-3-1 in their last 10. They finally, you know, righted the ship after a slow start. coming back from the All-Star break and the trade deadline, the odds right now are 89.6%. So it's just, you know, far and above the next two teams. They'd have to really blow it. Tough schedule a little bit, though, going into the final nine games. Winnipeg, Minnesota, Vancouver, three tough games right there. Arizona, Vancouver, Edmonton, Minnesota, Colorado, four more tough games in a row. Then you finish with Chicago and Anaheim. So they need to tread water and win, you know, most of those games so that they can beat Chicago and Anaheim. Although, doesn't it seem like, who was it last year? Was it Pittsburgh that lost to Buffalo in the last game of the season to lose
Chicago
the playoffs?
Chicago and Buffalo.
Chicago and Buffalo, yeah. So basically, the Golden Knights will make the playoffs if they don't mess up massively. It's a tough schedule, but it's in their control, and they should be locking this down.
You mentioned staying healthy. These guys are just treading water, like you said, just to get to the playoffs. That's all they want to do. They just want to get there. We'll get, hopefully, Mark Stone back. We'll get Thomas Hertl back. Peter Angelo's day-to-day. Hopefully give him some rest. Aiden Hale, we don't know what the situation is on him. That's four pretty good players. So let's just get there. That's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to win anything. Let's just get to the dance. Derek Stepan said it when we had him on the show. I don't care where we're at. Let's just get there. These guys are the defending Stanley Cup champions. Do you think they care who they match up with in game one? Not a bit. I think they're confident enough to just go into any barn and get a W. That's all they need to do. Steal one out of the first two games, and that's what they'll do. So the West, I feel like, is locked in. I think they're positioning right now, and Nashville's doing a pretty good job of holding down that first wild card spot. I don't think they catch the Winnipeg Jets for the third spot in the Central. Can Vegas catch the LA Kings? Maybe they're 1 point back, but LA has a game in hand. So that's the only one that could maybe change, but all in all, I know this is for content, but the West is locked in, Tim. Don't you? Let's just call a spade a spade. I think right now they're jockeying for positions. Who wants to play the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round? Vancouver or Dallas? Or Colorado? I don't think anybody does. So maybe you start sitting people if you're the Dallas Stars. If I'm Dallas, I'm first place in the West right now. I would much rather play the Winnipeg Jets. I know it's a lot of travel. I know it would be difficult on the boys. But that's a way better option than going to play the defending Stanley Cup champions, who's waxed you out of the playoffs, I think, two of the last 3 years or whatever it is. So, no thank you.
Who's arguably a better team when healthy than they were when they won the Cup last year. You know?
Their salary cap, I think, is $117 million when everybody's on the roster, which is just bonkers. So, yeah, I am maybe sitting some vets. I'm letting Joe Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin have a couple days off, fellas. We're going to make the playoffs. And I think it's a strategic play from the GM and the coach there, but hockey guys are prideful. We'll see how that pans out. And then if I'm the Vancouver Canucks, would I rather play the LA Kings? Or would I rather play the Nashville Predators, who are just on fuego? A team who can't lose, who's playing so incredibly good together, 16, 17 in a row now. I'm thinking I'd rather play the LA Kings. Easy travel. I know I match up against them fairly well. I know they have deadly centers down the middle, but boy, oh boy, nobody wants to play the Nashville Predators coming into the playoffs. So the West it's an interesting situation for these guys. On the Jets, I'm sitting pretty right now. I do not I'm good third place in the Atlantic. So, but yeah, these eight teams are locked in, Tim. Do we even want to talk about the Wild and the Blues? You did a lot of work. We should.
Just briefly. Yeah. So Minnesota 7.4%. Remember, Vegas was 89.6. So this is we're talking miracle type stuff for either of these two teams to make the playoffs ahead of Vegas. But they have a relatively easy schedule, and I think if Vegas flounders and they win all these must win games against the non playoff teams, because they're playing the Sharks twice, they're playing Ottawa, Chicago, Seattle, and they have two games against Vegas. If they beat Vegas in both of those games and win those games that they must win, it suddenly gets pretty interesting. And those odds get a lot closer to 50-50. But I think for Minnesota, it comes down to Kaprizov and goaltending in addition to those two games against Vegas. It's very, very much in their control. Or I'd say at least within the realm of possibility. And then the Blues, been playing great hockey lately, 6-3-1, down to 4.4%. So almost not even in there. The thing that makes it interesting for them is just, again, ease of schedule. Listen to who they play. Calgary, San Jose, Anaheim, Chicago, Seattle. Like, those are, you know, six of their last nine games. It's just against teams that aren't even sniffing the playoffs. They have nothing to play for. So again, if Minnesota doesn't get it done and Vegas flounders, Blues are close enough to make it interesting. The thing that they have going against them besides the odds, just the fact they don't play any other teams competing for the wild card spot. They don't play Vegas. They don't play Minnesota. So none of that, not really in their hands completely. They don't have control over their own future except to win the games they have in front of them. But it's Vegas. I think we can basically lock it down.
We can start planning the playoff seeding soon. It'll be fun. All right, let's get to your Tim's take, Tim.
Yes, you guys know the deal here. We're running out of time for March 31st with the Tim Hortons Roll Up to Win promotion. You can win on the Tim's app to win prizes like the daily cash jackpot of $10,000, an all-electric Volkswagen ID4, and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. Download the Tim's app by the end of this week. I think Sunday's the 31st. My Tim's take today, the Stars, the Dallas Stars, are the most underrated team in the National Hockey League. I feel like they are a juggernaut that we kind of sweep under the rug a little bit when we talk about the best teams in the league. We think in the East, it's New York Rangers, Carolina, Toronto. We think of the West, it's Vancouver and Colorado and Edmonton. Dallas is the top of the West. I think they have 99 points. They have won 5 straight games. They have 7 20-goal scorers. One of our listeners, John, mentioned it to me this morning. All 6 of their top 6 forwards, both lines, all 20-goal scorers, which is just astounding. Currently the top teams in the West. I think they get overlooked in favor of these other teams, but they shouldn't be. So that's my pick for Tim's take for today.
This kind of reminds me of Vegas last year, where everybody was all excited about Colorado, what they're going to do, Edmonton, they're going to get over the hump. Those are the two teams everybody was focused on. Vegas wins the division. They go on to win the Stanley Cup. And I think, yeah, it's happening again with the Dallas Stars. They just have been in the playoffs year after year. You just expect them to lose at some point, but yeah. They're a fun team. They could potentially have more 20-goal scores if Jamie Benn gets a couple more and 8, 9 20-goal scores. How fun would that be? But they're a pretty good team. Solid team. I still don't trust them. Good team.
Yeah, Ottinger's not playing his best. But if he's on, like in the playoffs, a different game.
But no one's standing out. Like, Jason Robertson's not having his 50-goal season. Pavelski's not, putting up a ton of points. That line, the Hooper with him and Rupe Hintz isn't, lighting the world on fire. Everybody's just contributing every night, every line's getting a goal and they're just doing it as a group. So I think that's why they're getting overlooked. They don't have one guy who is really just having a fantastic year. They're all just having a ho-hum year. And then you look at the standings like, my goodness, these guys haven't lost and they're first place and 20 goal scores and this and that. But is it okay to be a ho-hum going into the playoffs, or do you want, guys really feeling it?
I think it works in their favor because of the way their team is structured. Like, okay, say who do you battle plan against? You want to take Robertson out of the game, and then you got Pavelski, and then you got Marchment, and then you got like all these other players. Hints, like you can maybe try to game plan around 2 of them, like 3 at the most, and the rest of them, the second and third line is going to beat you. You know what I mean? And so it's just I think it works in their favor, and they're primed to go on a run. I think so. Yeah, I would call them probably the most underrated team.
Yeah, Matt Duchene was a really good pickup this offseason for them. He was so huge. Good. He has solidified that second line with Mason Marchment. It's allowed Wyatt Johnson to drop down to the third line with Jamie Benn. Really, really smart move. So good for them. I think they're going to be tough out. It'll be fun. But I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid just yet. So we'll see how it pans out. But good for them. All right, Tim, what else?
Let's do some quick hits and get out of here, as you like to say.
I agree.
So our quick hits are brought to you by DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. Download the DoorDash app and enter promo code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms apply. Cool little moment last night. Jane Gensel returned to Pittsburgh. Only like 2 weeks later, he's already getting a video tribute. Nice moment, nice tribute. And, he got the standing ovation and all that. Important player to that franchise. What I noticed on Twitter this morning, I thought was really interesting. And I always like to hear players after trades or after not being signed, what they say, because it's a lot of chess when they know who they're speaking to and what they're saying. And a little bit of that with Jane Gensel. And I feel like this was for the fans. This was like, hey guys, I'm not the bad guy here. So we told Josh Yeo of The Athletic, who was one of the premier beat writers for Pittsburgh Penguins. He said, quote, "My intention was to stay. They thought there was a better direction." So, hey, that's at Dubas. Like, man, I wanted to be here. People wanted me here. It's not my fault that I'm not. So that was interesting.
It is. Yeah, we'll see how it pans out. But I think Dubas made a mistake. He went with the vets. That was his call. We're going to ride these guys to the very end. So we're re-upping. We're bringing in Carlson. That's it. We're going with these veterans. So sorry, Jake. That's the cost of re-signing all those guys is losing Jake Guentzel. We'll see how it plays out. I think it was a bad decision. I think you get rid of Malkin. You get rid of Letang. You don't bring Carlson in. Then you have Guentzel. You have Crosby. And you still have a lot of room left to play with money-wise. And your team is much better at that point. This season and moving forward. He made a huge mistake bringing back Malkin and Letang. Huge mistake. And Carlson, my goodness. How does this guy have a job?
I don't think Dubas did that. Wasn't it Rutherford?
No, that was Dubas who brought in Carlson.
No, but the Malkin and Letang. I don't know if that was
Dubas. It might have been Rutherford. Both of them.
Either way.
There's turds everywhere.
Yeah. The Bruins won a huge game against Florida last night, the third time they've beaten them this year. And a big game for the Bruins because they've been really struggling lately, haven't been playing their best hockey.
Physical game.
Back skating at practice. Montgomery was pissed at him, like just not a great look in the last week or so. Big comeback win. And a friend of the show, Jeremy Swayman, the goaltender, got his first career point on a secondary assist on Trent Frederick's goal last night, which is a cool little moment for this guy.
You see Hampus Lindholm get beat up by Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Yeah. I don't know. It's strange.
I love that. It's like you think you're protected. Sam Bennett already had his glove off. If you haven't seen it, go watch the clip. Hampus Lindholm, they're kind of wrestling. Hampus Lindholm throws a left and hits Bennett right in the face. Bennett's right hand is already cocked and ready to go. And he just comes right down the pipe. And Hampus Lindholm's like, whoa, no. He goes down fast. And Marchand's getting into it. And Tkachuk's getting into it with Witherspoon. A fun little game. Very fun.
Just a couple quick more here. Matt Murray was on the ice yesterday for the Leafs for the first time all season with the full practice and with the full team. Good news for them. You know, I don't know if you expect too much from them, but it doesn't hurt you to have some goaltending depth, and we'll see what this does for them between the pipes. If Samsonov doesn't play well, if he gets hurt, the more depth they have there, the better. So good news for Toronto.
My guess is if he plays, it'll be in the playoffs. Because he's still on LTIR. So, you know, remember the big scuttle about him in the preseason? Is he healthy? Is he not?
Yeah.
He makes $4.7 million. Like, that would ruin their salary cap situation. Listen, if you're banking on Matt Murray saving you guys, he hasn't played in like over a year, we got bigger fish to fry, my friends. Oh, I hope Matt's better. We really need him. They got Samsonov. He's playing good. They got Martin Jones, Joseph Wall. I think they'll be fine. Toronto will be good. They'll win a round.
Last one here. Great little quote from Paul Maurice talking about Sam Reinhardt, who would, you know, scored 50 goals the other night, his 50th goal. And he said about Sam, quote, "He never cheats the game, not once. He's really good. Unless you're trying to sign him as a free agent, in which case there's a little attitude problem and he's hard to deal with." Hmm. Obviously said and sarcastically, but so good. And it indicates that they're desperately trying to lock him up and haven't been able to do it yet.
That's fun, isn't it? When you're just poking fun at, like, you want like $8 million or $9 million? Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Oh, imagine. I can't even imagine. All right, everybody. That was a good show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate the support. I don't think we're going to do one on Friday. Might take the weekend off. I got a big Easter weekend with the kids. Tim's got who's coming into town, Tim?
My little cousin's coming into town, and she goes to BC. So she's like, hey, can we watch the BC game on Friday? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm a little, who do I root for?
You have an allegiance to Tech. Wear your Tech hat. You have to.
I don't have a Tech hat, but we'll be watching that. So good luck to Michigan Tech if we don't go Friday.
We will not go Friday. That's a stamped. I don't want to go Friday. So we will see everybody Monday. Thanks for the support. Have a good weekend. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.